You are listening to We Saw the Devil, an investigative and conversational true crime podcast that deep dives into fascinating criminal cases that are solved, unsolved, or ongoing. From America's Lori Vallow to Germany's Armin Mivas, we examine and discuss the world's most shocking cases. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to follow us online. Check us out at WeSawTheDevil.com and We Saw the Devil on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can become part of the show by backing us on Patreon. Hello, everyone. You are listening to We Saw the Devil. This is Robin. And as discussed on the previous episode, this episode was intended to be a bit of an interview. Brittany came up with the idea of interviewing me so you listeners can get to know me a little bit better, get to know my background, why I founded this podcast, what I do in my free time, what I'm like, while simultaneously eating disgusting snacks that our Patreon patrons basically picked out to torture me with. That was the intention for this episode, but over the last few days, a case has developed. It is a really devastating case dealing with a missing woman, and it's kind of taken the nation by storm. So I, for the last few days, have actually been just deep diving into this rabbit hole, and of course, we had to talk about it. And that is the case of Gabby Petito. So this episode, in its original form, ran a little over 2 hours. And guys, that's a little long for one upload. So I'm actually breaking this episode into two pieces. It also seemed a little inappropriate to have a fun episode with lots of laughter coincide also with something that is time sensitive and devastating as the Gabby Petito case. It just seemed completely wrong. So what I'm going to do is release half of the episode, the Gabby Petito portion, today in this episode. I hope that's okay with all of you. Before we get there, though, let me get some housekeeping out of the way. You can find us at WeSawTheDevil.com. From there, you can find us across all social media channels, all the good stuff there. Don't forget, we do have a Patreon. That's patreon.com/WeSawTheDevil, where you can financially back the show and get some cool goodies. Announcement to our Patreon patrons. Because of a lot of stuff and the new cases coming on and going on, I'm actually moving our Patreon-only episode to September 20th. So I'm actually pushing it back 4 days. And then you guys will actually get a drop of the postcard episode. So a lot going on this week, guys. Don't forget, we are doing the monthly giveaway. If you go to wsdlove.com, you can fill out just a really quick entry. And you're entered into a drawing where at the end of the month, I will pick one person. And I will send you something cool. I will send you a cool gift. And that's one person every month. And so, yeah, go to wsdlove.com. You can fill out the entry. And also, if you want an additional entry, all you have to do is leave us a 5-star review. You can send a screenshot or just give us the name of the review that you left, and you'll be entered a second time. Again, at the end of the month, I will pick one person from the list of entries, and I will send you something super cool as a major thank you for supporting the show, listening, and being awesome. So before I play part one of mine and Brittany's episode, starting with the Gabby Petito case, I would like to really quickly insert some updates since she and I recorded last night, actually. Thursday at noon Eastern time, guys. Again, Thursday at noon Eastern time today. The Northport, Florida Police Department will be holding a press conference. There are multiple expected speakers, and this includes the Northport Police Chief Todd Garrison, a representative of the FBI, as well as a member of Gabby's family. We're unsure if it is her mother or father. That will be televised live, and I assume they will be providing an update, like a status update on this case. Secondly, as you'll hear in this episode, there was a domestic dispute call that was made in Moab, Utah on August 12th while Gabby and Brian were making their trip. At the time of the recording, there was no context, no further information. All anyone knew is that there was, in fact, a domestic dispute. I highly suggest if you are interested in this case, you join the Facebook group Find Gabby. Otherwise, I will be posting the actual report on all of our social media channels as well. The context for this report is actually very, very, very important, because when you hear domestic disturbance, you pretty much usually think of one or two things, right? So basically what happened is on August 12th, a police officer responded to a domestic call. Apparently, someone witnessed a young couple fighting. They reported a man taking a woman by the mouth and pushing her. Obviously, that was enough to warrant a phone call to the police, right? The police pulled over the van. Brian was driving. Gabby was in the passenger seat, and she was very, very upset and crying. I will let you read the full report, but basically both Gabby and Brian agreed that Gabby was having mental health issues. They got into an argument. Their trip had been straining their relationship. They were starting to have issues. And she was scratching him. She had slapped him, grabbed him, and he apparently pushed her away. That is the story that they both maintained. The officer arrived, separated them. They maintained the same story. He decided to de-escalate. Brian ended up staying in a hotel with police assistance that evening. Gabby stayed in the van. They separated them for the evening, and then they got back together, and by all accounts, they went on their way. But again, I will post this police report for that. It has finally been made public. It's definitely worth reading, and I don't think it's quite what any of us expected. But as of right now, a little after midnight on Thursday morning, that is it. So check out the police report from the domestic call on August 12th. And then also to later this afternoon at noon Eastern time, there will be a press conference with a status update on this case. But I'm going to go ahead and play part one, which entails the Gabby Petito case. Okay, Brittany, welcome back. I know that you've been looking forward to this.
For a while, actually. Yes.
As we said in the last episode, well, the last couple, I guess. So Brittany wanted to interview me. I think it would be a really great chance for everyone to get to know me, get to know the show, the reason for founding and starting this podcast just as a whole. So Brittany came up with the idea that I eat rancid things.
Oh, excuse me. No, let's back it up here. I simply stated a question in our Patreon group. If you're a Patreon, you can join this group. You have to be a paying supporter of the show. And I just said, hey guys, like in theory, what snacks would you like me to order for Robin during this interview? And guys, you did not disappoint. Thank you so much for all of your help finding this stuff.
I'm absolutely going to ask you who sent what or who recommended which one, and I will hunt you down.
All my names, but like this was a team effort, and like I felt a sense of community, and I just want to thank everyone for their help in finding these delicacies from Amazon. So I'm super excited for Robin to enjoy these treats. But before we get into her interview and digging into these snacks, it sounds like there's another case we need to talk about.
So a big thank you to patron Shauna S. for actually bringing this case to my attention. Showed up on East Idaho News, multiple other outlets. And this case, there are so many questions. Brittany and I were previously just discussing this evening, and she even brought up more questions. I would like to talk about the case of Gabby Petito and Brian Laundry.
I guess the other reason this is probably making national news is that it's touched so many different states.
It has. So Gabby Petito and Brian Laundry were a couple. They just started a blog, a website for hashtag van life, where they live full time in a van and travel the country, you know, take beautiful photographs and Instagram worthy, you know, outings and whatnot. While living this said van life, she and her boyfriend were out traveling. They went through Utah. They were on their way to Wyoming. And he, about 2 weeks later, returned home to Florida with the van without Gabby. He immediately lawyered up. And he has refused to talk to anyone. And Gabby has not been found.
Okay. Let's rewind that a little bit. So they're just barely dating or?
So Gabby and Brian actually met in high school in Bayport, New York. They were basically middle school sweethearts. Like they dated when they were wee kids. They were classmates. They dated again in high school. They broke up. And they eventually got back together back in 2019 in March. Gabby ended up moving down to Florida and with Brian and his parents in Northport, Florida. So they worked at Publix together. They rekindled that romance. And then last year in July, Brian actually proposed to Gabby. She said yes. According to her mother, they actually immediately decided that it was too fast, that they're too young to get married. And so they actually called their engagement off. I see a lot of outlets reporting that, you know, he was her fiance. And apparently that is actually currently not the case.
So they decided to, after calling off this engagement, they decided to go on this camper van trip.
Yep. They, Gabby actually purchased a white 2012 Transit van. and wanted, and they actually together restored it and created their own little, like, what, small home, small van.
Those are so cool, though.
They
like,
are.
I know it's like an up and coming thing. I've actually seen a lot of these like really cool businesses where you can just rent one of those vans. So for her to straight up buy one, they must have been really outdoorsy.
Very much so. Well, all reports have basically said that she was actually the super outdoorsy one. He never really was, it's reported. But after she and Brian got together and started dating, he gravitated towards a lot of those interests. A couple months ago, they made the plunge, they finished up the van, and they created a YouTube channel, also a website, basically converted their social media handles into being, you know, that van life. And then they set out. So they actually left Florida on July 2nd, and then they traveled through Texas, Colorado. They made it through Ogden and Salt Lake City, Utah. They were very, very active on social media. They would take lots of photos, both of them, both of their social media accounts, which, by the way, if you're interested in looking at their social media accounts, they're still active. They're still open. And I will put the links to their accounts in the show notes or on the YouTube video.
This is just a little friendly reminder. Anytime you have cases like this that are kind of newer, get screenshots. If you plan on following this case like we do, screenshot this, because usually what happens is these social media accounts, the videos, all of that starts to disappear real quick.
And I have a feeling with what's kind of transpiring this evening in the case that that's actually going to be sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
So Gabby was very, very, very close with her parents, and she would actually talk to both of her parents. I believe that her parents are divorced, and she would actually call and check in with each one of them 3 times per week.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. Like, she would video chat with her mom. She would call her dad. They were all very, very, very close, and they wanted to make sure that, you know, their daughter was safe.
This is such like a wholesome thing too. I mean, when you think of someone in their early 20s, like I think of who I was in my early 20s, I did not have wholesome activities like this. I definitely was not calling my family 3 times per week.
3 times per week while you're on a road trip. It's young, romantic. Their pictures were gorgeous.
Okay, so what am I missing? When did things start to kind of shift?
Here's kind of where things went south. And this timeline is actually courtesy of Gabby Petito's step uncle. He actually posted this to Facebook, the timeline that the family is actually aware of. So Gabby and Brian were in Moab City, and a domestic was actually called in on them on August 12th. Police actually confirmed this just not even an hour ago. Someone else called it in. Police responded. The call was regarding Gabby and Brian. Apparently, there was not enough evidence at the time for them to actually file a report, press charges, anything like that.
That's significant, though, right? Have you ever seen like a couple fight in public before?
Yes.
So bad that you're like, I need to call someone to intervene at this point.
One time, actually. One time.
We have to get to that in our little interview later.
I have witnessed it one time. And, you know, that involved physical violence, right? So I feel like everyone thinks right now that something significant had to have happened for strangers to call.
Agreed.
Which is actually made more suspicious by the fact that Brian, 5 days later, he actually flew out from Utah back home to Florida. And he was there for several days to help his dad move things like from the house into a storage unit. Now, don't forget, Brian and Gabby were living with his parents, his family, in their small ranch home. So why did he have to fly home from this massive road trip to just help his father put shit into a storage unit?
That is so bizarre.
Like, why was it necessary to move Gabby's things during the road trip in the middle of it? And like, what actually happened to her stuff? Where did it go?
Okay, so he flies out, helps his dad, comes right back to Utah, I assume.
Yep.
And back to where they were staying?
Yeah. So he comes back evening of the 23rd. So on August 23rd, they were in Salt Lake City. If you recall, the hurricane that went up through Mexico actually caused a great deal of storms, bad storms apparently, in the Salt Lake City area. So they were actually without power in their van. They had no power. They were staying at a hotel. Electricity went out. And Gabby called her dad and said, hey, dad, I'm hungry, cold. Like, do you mind? I have no Wi-Fi. Our Wi-Fi is out. Do you mind Uber eating us a pizza? And her dad did. He sent a pizza to the hotel.
Aww.
I know. They left the hotel in Salt Lake City the next morning on the 24th. On the next day, and this is where like dates become very, very, very precise, more so. So the next day on August 25th, she called her mom and told her that she was at Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming and that they had plans to continue on to Yellowstone. And okay. That's the last
time. Pretty close
time.
Together.
Yeah, pretty close together. And that is the last time that anyone in her family had a voice conversation with her.
Oh, sad.
That's the last time they actually heard from her via voice, via call. Now, she told a friend, messaged a friend and told her her friend that she was heading to Yellowstone on August 27th, that they had planned to arrive in Yellowstone by August 27th. The last text from Gabby's phone was on August 30th saying no service in Yosemite. We'll get to more details in a moment, but basically her mom doesn't even know if that was actually her.
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, we saw the same thing in the Lori Vallow case, right? Because Tylee's friends back in Arizona were getting messages that were not actually from her. So it's hard when you don't have that actual voice on the other end.
Apparently, Gabby had a very, very unique conversational style. And whether it's like in person, on social media, or via text message, she loved emojis and she wrote at length. She was fairly long-winded. So just getting a text saying no service in Yosemite immediately apparently put off like the red flags for her family.
Yeah. So one other thing that I noticed too in text messages, at least on an iPhone, I can't speak to Androids, but capitalization's interesting too. If you start typing something and then you backspace it a little bit, it usually removes that automatic capitalized letter and goes to lowercase. It would be interesting to see if we could compare capitalization between different messages that she's been sending in the past to some of these kind of mysterious looking ones and see if it looks like someone delayed or maybe was kind of second guessing before they sent something.
Oh, no, that's really interesting. Absolutely. You know, in the screenshot of that text, the no service in Yosemite, it was a lowercase n. So it'd be really, interesting to compare that for sure. Last time anyone ever heard from her was August 30th, right? Brian Laundry then returned to Florida. He pulls up in his driveway, rolls up in this white transit van, his and Gabby's van, back to the house that he shared with Gabby, his dad and stepmom. But Gabby was not present.
This was Brian's second trip back to Florida in less than a 2-week period.
Correct.
What in the world?
Correct. So in this time, Gabby's mom, the last video chat that she had with Gabby was August 25th. The last text message was on August 30th. Again, her mom wasn't sure if it was her. She has stated that it didn't seem like her. Complete radio silence. It was believed that Gabby had been in Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming at the time that she went missing, kind of like went into radio silence. The last photo of her was taken in front of the Monarch mural in Ogden, Utah, also on August 25th. The caption is just two words, Happy Halloween. And to your point, Brittany, what's the capitalization on that tag?
Two capital letters.
Yes.
Okay. So one other thing I just want to throw out there. We have a lot of listeners in Idaho. I'm here in Idaho, and Grand Teton National Park, you've got decent service. Like I have bummed it on Sprint and T-Mobile. In my high rolling days, I had AT&T and Verizon. Obviously you have incredible coverage there. You have service in Grand Teton National Park. Maybe you're like really on the off the beaten path, you might lose it. It might be a little spotty, but you do have service in Grand Teton National Park. Even most parts of Yellowstone, you're going to have service. So even if they had made it to Yellowstone, you would still have service in most of the main areas. So it's interesting for her to just say no service, or at her rate of calling each of her parents an average of 3 times per week, that means she's missed at least 2 phone calls in that span of time. So even if there wasn't service all the time, she still would have found a way to communicate.
Absolutely. She wouldn't have just gone off the map and done nothing. But thank you for clearing that up, because I did notice earlier that there's a great deal of kerfluffle, like on Reddit especially, of people arguing about the level of service in Yosemite and Grand Teton. So you're saying that there is a significant amount at least.
In the main areas, like the places you would, the main highways, the main roads to get to the more popular trailheads, Yeah, I mean, I've had all of the major carriers at this point, and I've never had such significant issues that you could just, you would have to tell someone, I'm going to be here for a few days. You're never going to hear from me. Like, that would be insane. You might go a couple of hours, but you're going to run into enough to send a text message.
No, absolutely. And that probably would have been the very, very, very first thing that she did.
Totally.
But yeah, but which is not a good sign, clearly.
Right. FaceTime, I will admit, is probably going to be spotty there.
Very resource heavy.
Texting, you'd be totally fine.
So starting on August 30th, there was complete and total radio silence. Neither one of Gabby's parents, her mother, or father, no one could get in touch with her in any form whatsoever. She went off the map. And so her parents did what most parents would do, and they decided to check out and call the people who are closest to her, who her daughter's, you know, living with, and that would be Brian's parents. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, his parents stopped answering their calls. They stopped answering the phone. They ignored Gabby's parents entirely.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Can you imagine? Like, the families were close. They knew each other. They knew that their kids were in love, that they were getting married. You know, they had an engagement, all of that. And suddenly off the map, completely gone.
Okay. But the parents definitely knew something was up because Brian's back in Florida on the 17th, moving her stuff into storage units. So some sort of conversation went down where allegiances were made. However, that's someone's kid. Like, as I'm a parent, if I had any other parent call me asking about their child, there's like this basic understanding that you help parents. Like, that's just, you do that. We're in charge of two things as parents. Like, you keep your kid in line, keep them safe and protected, and then you kind of look out for the other ones around you. You know, like, that's what you do. Why would the parents not talk?
Exactly. Which I think that, I mean, honestly, there's like only one really good answer of that, I would say. But yeah, they did not talk. And Gabby's mom, Nicole, her name is Nicole Schmidt, said in an interview, quote, "The first few days, I believed that she was in a place with no cell service. It was day 8 or 9, I became really concerned."
Poor thing.
Yeah, no one would talk. Currently, Brian's sister, Cassie, is the only member of the Laundrie family to speak to investigators or provide any information whatsoever. That is so incredibly weird to me. Not his parents, not him, his sister. Why is she the messenger? So on September 11th, Gabby's parents were finally able to file a missing persons report to the Suffolk County Police Department. There apparently are certain rules that you have to abide by and follow when filing a missing persons report to basically a location other than your state. And then also if the people are on vacation too. So that's a lot of time from August 30th, guys, to September 11th. That's how long it took her family to be able to file a missing persons report.
Well, further than that, right? Her mom hadn't heard or seen her child since the 25th of August.
Yep, on video or phone call. Yep.
That's what I would go off of as a parent, is I have not seen my child since the 25th, and I can't even report her missing until the 11th. Laws have got to change. Like, seriously, that is so terrible.
I mean, that's a lot of time. That night on September 11th, so same day as the police report, the Northport, Florida Police Department, they get their asses into gear and they go over to the Laundrie house and they pull over the white transit van. And apparently Brian was inside of it. Obviously, Gabby still not there. Brian actually refused to answer any and all questions, cooperate with the police, and he immediately requested a lawyer.
Okay, so here's the thing. I know that's obviously not a good look. Like, that's not. However, for true crime listeners, I mean, if you didn't do anything wrong, I kind of think that's probably the right call. Like, you don't want to, it's not gonna, if he is innocent, which I don't think he is, but that would be probably the best thing to do. Like, that's probably, that's why we have our rights, you know, don't say anything that can get yourself in trouble. You know how police can kind of twist things around. I don't think it's wrong. And I really think it's important for us to not assume, you know, his guilt because he's asking for a lawyer and not helping the police. So I just want to throw that out there. Like, I know a lot of podcasts are like, oh, guilty. And like, you'll see this, but we should probably like maybe like change the narrative on that. That's actually what we're supposed to do. One of our rights is to immediately say, I want the help of an attorney. I want someone to make sure that I don't completely get screwed here if I didn't do anything wrong.
Right. No, absolutely. And for any of our listeners, one of the most mind-blowing videos that I've seen, it's actually on YouTube, and it's multiple members, retired members of like law enforcement, FBI, upper echelon law enforcement. And they literally came in and talked to a university class about how you should never, ever, 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 ever talk to the police. Period. Full stop. Do not do it. Even if it's just for a speeding ticket, like, do not talk to the police under any circumstances. And that's coming directly from law enforcement.
We just have different incentives, right? Like their incentives are, let's get someone convicted. It's not, their incentive is not, let's find the guy. It's like, we have to get a conviction. That's how the entire system is set up. So lawyers are there to make sure that they're there to make sure that it is the right person. So if it's not you, you kind of need someone in your corner. I don't think it's wrong to ask for an attorney. And I don't think this one thing makes him guilty. I don't think it's part of the equation. I do think everything else that right. we're seeing may be worth considering, right. but not this one.
Right. Completely agree. But yeah, completely agree. He requested a lawyer. I can look past that one. But police have confirmed that the van actually has been impounded and secured for the preservation of any evidence if a crime was actually committed inside of it.
Yeah, I don't like how long he had that van for without her.
Nope. And what's interesting is that police have actually come to the home multiple times to interview Brian. They've also tried to bring him in for questioning. And his parents actually will not let it happen. They will not let police interview their son, like at all.
This is a grown man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Brian Laundrie's dad, Christopher Laundrie, was just out mowing his lawn, just like nothing's going on, like cool, out here chilling, mowing my yard, nothing's going on. Apparently there's just like a whole line of media now on their street. People, reporters, investigative journalists are sitting there camped out waiting for any movement from that household. So that family's life has changed very, very fast, very quickly.
We need to get Nate eaten up in there with his little microphone.
Please
just
do.
Chasing him as he's doing his lawn mowing lines up and down. Nate Eaton just chasing him with the mic. Where is your son and why is he not talking to police?
Where is Gabby? I can picture
the whole nation.
Nate,
yeah, we need Nate Eaton there.
Nate Eaton, it is your time to shine yet again.
Help us.
But that's pretty much it, guys. Nothing else from that. He hasn't spoken. The only thing, so there are a couple pieces of just current updates as of today, okay? The FBI, as well as New York and Florida police departments are all investigating this. So we have multiple agencies. Last I heard, too, that possibly ones out of Utah and Wyoming joined it this evening. Also, as of 6 p.m. this evening, Brian Laundrie became a person of interest officially, like on the record, according to the Northport police, which obviously he was a person of interest, but it definitely means something when it's formally put out, say, like in a press release, right?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, because now what you've just basically told the nation is don't let this guy leave your sights.
Exactly.
Like this guy is not leaving.
Right. Exactly. They said that they want to talk to him and he's going to be a person of interest in Gabby's disappearance until he decides to tell his side of the story and what exactly happened. Also, in something that just made me want to vomit in my mouth. So Brian Laundrie's family, I don't know. Like, I don't know who they hired as an attorney. Maybe you and I, Brittany, have different opinions and thoughts on this statement. But earlier today, the Laundrie family released a statement through their attorney, Stephen Bertolino, and it reads: "This is an extremely difficult time for both the Petito family and the Laundrie family. I understand that a search has been organized for Miss Petito in or near Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming. On behalf of the Laundrie family, it is our hope that the search for Miss Petito is successful and that Miss Petito is reunited with her family. On the advice of counsel, the Laundrie family is remaining in the background at this juncture and will have no further comment." I have never read something more just odd and disrespectful.
This definitely did not go through a PR person. Holy shit. Okay, so couple of thoughts. I mean, best case scenario, what this is insinuating is that an event took place right? That obviously Brian had nothing to do with. So he naturally just had to abandon his girlfriend and drive across the country and then just like not do anything about it. He didn't report anything. He didn't go to police. He just like waited for her parents to get around to that. This entire thing is not even beginning to address that. If I were his lawyer, which I'm not, and I have no legal training whatsoever, but I do have a little bit of like, you know, some PR work I've done in the past, I'd be crafting my story right about now. This would not be how I would lead with it either.
No.
This is where I would say I was held at gunpoint.
Yeah.
I had to leave. I was not allowed to say anything. More details will come, but I feared for my own life. This is what I had to do.
Yeah. Yep.
Not like.
Good luck to her. Like,
sorry. Bye. Like, what is that?
It's terrible. Like, I want to slap his family. And his attorney, Stephen Berlino, he is apparently like Mark Means version two, like 2.0. Oh,
you can tell this is.
Not only is the statement minimizing the fact that Gabby was part of the Laundrie family for years, right? Like, yeah. Literally dating back to their...
She lived there.
Yeah, she lived there. But not only that, but they've been close since, like, middle school, right? Like, you're what, like, 11, 12, 13 in middle school, and they're now 22? This isn't, like, someone they just met, guys. This is a long-time, like, friend and family member, basically. And not only that, yeah. Is just good luck. I understand that a search has been organized. Good luck.
Even if they, like, weren't romantic, right? Like, let's just say... This was just a roommate situation. You would still be liable for not reporting your roommate missing for how many days?
Yeah.
Not reporting it. I mean, this is the most bizarre PR statement I've read in a very long time.
I think this is honestly, like, as it relates to true crime, the weirdest thing I've ever freaking read. He is the only one who has seen her. He was with her on a road trip, and then he gets home and they're like, good luck to the search. We're just going to remain in the background at this juncture. No further comment.
The successful word really hangs, doesn't it? We hope the search for Miss Petito is successful. There is no success. Like, there, nothing about this situation screams success.
Mm-mm.
There's no one who's winning in this situation. There is only going to be heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
The timeline alone, like, even if by some miracle she's alive,
mm-hmm.
It's not going to be pretty. She's been... without any form of what I assume like forms of communication, somewhere to be out of the elements. She hasn't been able to talk to her family. Who knows what kind of physical condition she would be in. And that's the best case scenario, that she would have survived this long.
Mm-hmm.
To use the word success, this is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, I've never read anything like it in my life.
Yeah.
But after this statement came out, the Petito family actually released a statement in response. And
oh, good.
Yeah, there said, the Schmidt and Petito family are going through the worst moments of their lives. Their beautiful 22-year-old daughter is missing, and the one person who can help find Gabby refuses to help. Brian Laundrie was traveling with Gabby in the Grand Teton Yellowstone area. They were traveling together in Gabby's 2012 Ford Transit van. That is where we believe Gabby was last seen. Brian is refusing to tell Gabby's family where he last saw her. Brian is also refusing to explain why he left Gabby all alone and drove her van to Florida. These are critical questions that require immediate answers. The Schmidt and Petito family begged the Laundrie family to not, quote, remain in the background, but to help find who Brian referred to as the love of his life. How does Brian stay in the background when he is the one person that knows where Gabby is located? The Schmidt and Petito family implore Brian to come forward and at least tell us if we were looking in the right area. Like,
wow.
How heartbreaking. It could happen like a Barry Morphew type of situation, you know? Like, maybe they'll find some sort of overwhelming circumstantial evidence. It's just that the timing and the location and the setting of this makes that almost impossible.
The geographic region alone, I mean, they drove through so many states. I can't even begin to describe, even if Grand Teton National Park was the last place she was seen, this is an enormous national park that butts right up against Yellowstone National Park. So it's just this huge expanse. We're about to go into winter. It's it's already starting to snow in some parts of the, you know, mountain, the higher mountain areas. Mm-hmm. So this, the timeline they're up against to help locate, you know, her, hopefully somehow she's alive.
Yeah.
Right. But going into winter, it's, I just cannot begin to stress just how impossible this must feel for search and rescue, mm-hmm. for law enforcement, and my God, for her family. Like, I cannot even begin, but I hope they go about this, like, kind of like that Lori Vallow approach, get him in jail for something now and then just keep it going. But I really would fear for someone like him that has the experience of quickly traveling across the United States. That's a flight risk.
No, big time. Big time. There's just so much wrong with us. And my heart, absolutely. As I was reading details, and again, props to our Patreon patron, Shauna, for putting this in my view. But it just, the more that happens, it's just so heartbreaking to me. And, you know, I don't have children. But thinking about it from a parent's point of view, right? Like, imagine that your 22-year-old daughter with her very solid, stable, to your knowledge at least, boyfriend slash fiance, and they go around the country. She calls you 3 times a week. And then this happens. Like, for me personally, thinking about it, it would almost be worse having this happen with someone that I trusted, you know, allowed in my life, allowed in my child's life, versus the opposite of them just disappearing as a whole.
Yeah.
Like,
the
this
betrayal
is, yeah.
That they must be, like, I cannot even, I mean, if you're a praying person, if you are someone who, like, meditates and puts good feels out there, her family needs that.
Yeah, no, definitely. They are experiencing a lot right now.
So he's said nothing? Like, he hasn't said a single thing then?
Correct. Not a word.
Oh my gosh.
Just lawyered up, will not talk, period. Like, nothing. Which, I mean, to most of us, it says everything you need to know. Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised, and maybe he'll, you know, come out and he dropped her off on the side of the road and she's fine. Or as her father said in an interview, I believe it was with Fox News, something to the effect that he basically hopes that she kind of found some more, like, you know, hippie granola type of people, off the grid people, and that she's with them safe and unfortunately doesn't have, like, say, like a phone. But that's probably doubtful. So just for everyone who's there in the area, obviously there's like a massive bolo for her currently. She's been described as a white female, approximately 5'5", 110 pounds. If you go to her socials, which again are linked in the show notes or in the video notes, you can go to access to her Instagram as well as their website, Nomadic Static, that's static with a K.com. She has blonde hair, blue eyes, several tattoos, including one on her finger and one on her forearm that reads, "Let it be."
I guess we'll just have to see what comes forward. But in my opinion, the timeline on this, Brian coming forward is going to be more likely than a search of this size amounting to something.
Correct. So as far as, like, final thoughts on this, guys, it's so bizarre because usually when someone goes missing, the significant other makes some type of statement, right? Like, if Gabby had been dropped off at an airport, bus station, something like that, because they broke up, he would say that. Instead, it's like, "I wish y'all luck finding my fiance. I'll just be home chilling, playing Call of Duty. No further comment." That's pretty much how he decided to, like, come out and present this.
I'm with you. Like, I mean, usually it's the significant other, right? That's mm-hmm. like, I think everyone, the second they see, you know, this girl's missing and the boyfriend's still alive and he has, like, of course, like, he's guilty. Like, I agree with you, but I don't want to agree simply for the one, he asked for a lawyer. I refuse to accept that argument.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know that I want to completely say that he's guilty because of the other stuff about him too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, it's not, you know, it's a little too soon to completely jump to conclusions, although I'm pretty much, like, both feet in that pool, in the conclusion pool currently.
Sure.
But the Instagram posts themselves, and this is something, if you are interested in this case, again, both of their Instagram pages are up. Go take a look at each person's posts. Many captions, apparently more than just one, have posts that were edited multiple times. In more recent posts, Brian was actually tagged multiple times in each post. Like, she would tag him multiple times in the same post, even though, like, obviously only one is necessary, right? To tag someone.
Yeah,
which is weird. Unlike her. Like, she's very savvy with Insta. Also, the language doesn't appear to be language that Gabby had previously used. Her Instagram liked all of his posts except for the last two. And then also for these last two Insta posts on her account, location services was actually off on those, which they had been on consistently with every single other one.
Absolutely. That's a branding. That's her brand. Show where you're at.
Web sleuths are trying to piece together a more complete timeline for the last two, talking to people, even people who have seen them in parks and stuff have actually stepped forward into Reddit. People are really trying to piece this together. There's a Facebook group called Find Gabby that actually has multiple members of the family that you can interact with, and they're posting news updates there. One of the big talking points that I am noticing all across the board is that his artwork, which he has some questionable, interesting artwork, right? That could or could not speak to him. But it doesn't make him a murderer, guys. I mean, I personally love really gory movies. I like Sylvia Plath is one of my favorite writers. And obviously I have a true crime podcast and we discuss murder here. So, you know, and I know, can you believe it? But I'm legitimately like the last person. I cried in the opening credits, right? Of what's that movie? I can't even think now. The one about the lab, the yellow lab.
Marley?
Thank you.
Fucking, it's the Marley one, isn't it?
It is.
Marley and Me?
I cried in the opening credits.
Did you honestly?
I did, honest to God, hand to God.
You cried in Marley. Why did you go? Did you see it in the theater?
No. I watched it at home. I rented it, okay? I paid money for it.
No, you grazed over that. Did you go and see it a little bit in the theaters, kind of on accident?
I did not.
Okay.
No. But I wanted to cry in the comfort of my own home, okay?
Like, did you tear up or did you, like, ugly cry?
Somewhere between tearing up and ugly cry.
Okay.
Not quite Claire Danes' ugly cry, but, like, damn near there.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, let's not get too far into the 80s, like, Satanic Panic, or, like, the 90s with, you know, Marilyn Manson, Nine Inch Nails, how everyone loved to blame like, all of that for the world's ills. Let's not go there. It's not very becoming currently. So one of the most interesting pieces of this, too, that a lot of people are making the connection. About a month ago, there was a couple, Kylan Schultz and Crystal Turner, who were camping at Moab. And they just got married. They're basically on their honeymoon. And they texted friends one night, hey, there's a creepy man camping, you know, near us. And he's kind of bothering us. And their friends were like, you need to leave. You need to, you know, move your site. You need to go. The next morning, they were actually discovered shot dead.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. That's devastating. They were newlyweds, too.
Newlyweds. So incredibly sad. But a lot of people are making the connection that the timeline for Gabby and Brian actually fits Kylan and Crystal perfectly.
Well, and the whole camper van life, that's a huge growing movement right now. They were living also in a camper van.
Oh, really? I was not aware of that. Mm-hmm.
Yep, they were.
Oh, that's interesting. I was not aware of that. How do you feel about that? That's that fact.
I think that is a stretch. I definitely think it was devastating what happened to them. I imagine that there's still some pretty nefarious stuff we're going to see for whoever did that down in Utah. I do actually think you've got your guilty dude here. I just don't think we have enough to say why yet, but there's definitely a reason. Like if I were going to name a person of interest, I couldn't agree more that it's Brian.
No, absolutely. 100%.
Again, my main reasons for it has nothing to do with the art, nothing to do with getting a lawyer. It's why did you not report her missing or that something happened? All of those times that you could have along the way back home, you could have spoken to her family, that there were so many things that could have been done if you were innocent.
Yep.
To show that you had no idea where she went.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. To me, that says quite a bit.
No, absolutely. He did not. He is remaining silent. And that's it for part one, guys. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. This is a terrifying case. I am not a parent in any capacity, but I simply cannot fathom. This goes above and beyond just your child going missing. This is betrayal at the highest level from someone whom you consider almost another child, a family member, a loved one. I just simply cannot imagine the emotions that are consistently running through her mother, father, and stepfather now. I just simply cannot imagine it. I will be airing part two of this episode where we discuss the updates with the Idaho funeral home. The cadaver count in this apparently has continually been rising, and there will be no criminal charges. So tune in as we discuss the final updates on that and find out why no one's going to jail when there are over 50 fetuses and over 12 human bodies that were just chilling about. Actually, not chilling. That was the problem, is that they were not actually chilling. Also, you'll be able to hear me eat really, really, really disgusting, rancid foods. It'll be like the ASMR that you never, ever, ever wanted. And yeah, it's a fun time. So tune in on Friday. This is going to drop. Thanks again, guys. Until next crime.